We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's good, everybody? How you doing on a Monday? Fantastic to be here with you, rolling on until 7 p.m. right here on ESPN Upstate Offsides with Mark Ryan and Tim this week, rolling on. Great to be here with you guys. Absolutely jam-packed show. Travis Hancock, sister station WFNZ, joining us at 3:20 this afternoon. Looking forward to that interview. Our SEC and ACC team preview series continues today. Booyah! Tribute to you, Stuart Scott. That's because Josh Beard, my man from Houston, huge Aggie guy, has covered the Aggies for a long time. He will join us at 4 p.m. for our Texas A&M preview. It's about bloody time Texas A&M gets over the hump in that particular conference, right? We will see. We will see year three for Jimbo. What exactly is in store? It's Monday, which means it's time for three controversial opinions. Tim can contribute here if he would like as well with a controversial opinion of his own, but we look forward to bringing that to you as well here on the show. And I want to open today by sharing a contest I'd like to do with you. Now, sometimes these things are great ideas and sometimes they bomb. But if you've learned anything about me in the first 16 months that I've been here, it's that I'm not afraid to try different things, right? I'm not afraid to try different things at all. So Wednesday at, what time should we do this? Let's say 4:40 p.m., Tim. 4:40 p.m. on Wednesday. I would like to do a competition on Wednesday at 4 p.m. where where our listeners do their best impression of me. And to the listener that wins, we'll do something really nice for you. Maybe take you to lunch sometime. That might be 2021 before that happens, but might do something like that. Maybe take you to lunch, something like that. I want to do a contest where you guys call in and do your best impression of your humble host here. Or of your not-so-humble host. You call in Wednesday. You have between now and Wednesday to work on your impression of me. So I had a guy, Tim, when I used to work in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, thought I sounded just like Seinfeld. Hi, guys, how you doing? And he would always, I would walk by him, and he would start going into his Seinfeld impression every single time I walked by. But I want to hear what you guys think I sound like, and then Tim will be the judge at 4:40 p.m. on Wednesday.
Ooh, I have all the power. Let's go.
You have all the power, sir. I will be the MC. We will run the ship, and then you will be the judge, jury, and executioner. And whoever does the best impression of me Wednesday at 4:40 p.m. at some point in the next at some point, we will take you out to lunch, okay? How about that? I cannot give you the when on that right now, but at some point, we will do just that for you. Sound good? Sound good to you? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. I'm already getting texts from people saying they're winning that.
Oh, boy.
They're already saying they're winning that, Tim. I'm going to give you – look, you got – You have approximately 50 hours to work on your impression of me. You know, your wife will, like, roll over at 4 a.m. and what are you talking in your sleep? No, I'm just working on my Mark Ryan impression. Just working on the Mark Ryan impression, man. What are things I say quite frequently? What are things I do quite frequently? And do you guys consider me to be an impressionable person? Like, could you think you could conjure up a good impression of me? I'd love to know. But Wednesday, we will take your Mark Ryan, impressions, and we'll roll with them. Tim, good idea, bad idea? What do you think?
I think it's perfectly good idea. I'm looking forward to this, actually. I love being the judge, jury, executioner here, man. I hold all the power, brother, and y'all better start practicing now. Let's go.
Tim, listen, all I ask of you, Tim, is this, okay? All right? Don't be like I was as a teacher, all right? Okay. I was an easy grader. I was an easy grader because I had to be, because if you fail kids in today's day and age, at least at the school I was at in Houston, the principal comes in and lectures you about why you're failing the kids. And I learned really quickly, okay, I want to avoid those kinds of conversations. So the worst students got C's, the best students got A's, and everyone was somewhere in the middle, right? I think I gave more B's than any teacher in the history of mankind. So anyway, that was my MO. Don't be the easy grader, all right? You come with a very, very, very strict ear, okay, on Wednesday, all right?
All right, sounds good. And things I'll be looking for, definitely, like, whenever you do your show entry, I'll definitely be looking at, like, yeah, you know, what's good upstate? Stuff like that. You come with that, you'll be good to go.
He's looking for the energy. You got to have energy. Do you got to bring the hot takes, too? I think you would probably want to bring a hot take on the show.
Yeah, I feel like something about maybe either Muschamp, someone along those lines, where you're talking about the South Carolina program, stuff like that.
Okay, so Tim will be the judge. We will do that Wednesday at 4:40. We will promote it between now and then, and we'll do a little contest on the air, okay? We'll have some fun with it. We will roll on with that, and it'll be fun. It'll be fantastic. That's coming up Wednesday at 4:40. Cam Newton is a Patriot, ladies and gentlemen. He is a Patriot, and I think that is fantastic. This, to me, folks, has made the most sense from the very beginning. Cam, like, you wanted Cam. If you care about Cam, and I like Cam, he stole somebody's laptop at my university, and he was not half the quarterback that Tim Tebow was. But I still have a soft spot for him, right? And I feel like the organization, the Carolina Panthers, have kind of crapped on him with every little move that they make. I like Matt Rhule. I don't think Matt Rhule's behind this, but the social media team, they put out Who's the GOAT, and it has Julius Peppers, and it has Steve Smith, and it has Luke Kuechly, and there's no Cam Newton, and he's been crapped on. So you kind of root for the guy, right? And if you're looking at where might be a good fit for Cam, the Patriots always made the most sense. They always made the most sense as where he would want to go. Now, yesterday, what happens within 17 minutes? Folks, one thing I'll always tell you, there is no such thing in life as coincidences. Every damn thing happens for a reason. What do you see yesterday? Patriots busted for filming the Cincinnati Bengals. Fined $1.1 million, loss of a third-round draft pick, because it's the Patriots, because they're repeat offenders. I don't believe New England was trying to steal anything from Cincinnati. Are you kidding me? I mean, for the Bengals even to draw attention to that, right, is absurd. Like, the Patriots want to learn from the worst-run organization in the history of the National Football League. Perhaps apologies to Tampa there, right? Perhaps apologies to Tampa. But, like, that would be like our competition hitting me with something like, that Mark Ryan stole our segment, we did that segment first. And I would be like, bro, we're number one in the upstate. Like, really? Why? Like, you can do whatever you want. We can do whatever we want. You like a segment, you can take it. I like a segment, I can take it. But we're number one, dude. Really? I mean, come off of it. Really? So I'm not overly concerned with this offense by the Patriots, but the NFL had to do something, right? It was formulaic. It was merely on principle. And so what do the Patriots do? 17 minutes after that was announced, let's sign Cam Newton. Let's sign Cam Newton. Let's make it official. Let's get this negative PR off of the screen. What's one thing we can do that will trump this story? Oh, yeah. Let's sign Cam Newton. And let's sign Cam Newton right now. And you wanted Cam Newton to have a chance to go to a place where he could start if he won the job. Check for New England. It is a prove-it year for Cam Newton. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's also a prove-it year for Bill Belichick. And he knows this. And I think Bill Belichick has been sitting on this for a while. I think he's been digesting it for quite some time. I think he knew that Cam Newton in his system isn't necessarily the most perfect fit. But I think his competitive desire has gotten the best of him. Everybody's going to be drawing a determination this year. Lonzo and I have a bet as to who's going to win more games. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the New England Patriots? By the way, Cam or no Cam, I think I win that bet easily. How about you? Tim, who wins that bet? Who wins more games next year, the Bucs or the Patriots? I think Lonzo's case is helped by Cam Newton, but I still feel like I'm far and away the favorite to win that one, right?
I would say so, but I mean, you got to look at it this way. The NFC South is, with the exception of the Panthers, has got some really good teams in there, very competitive. The AFC East is, you got Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, just not a lot of good players. So I definitely think that the Patriots with Cam Newton could definitely win more games. It's definitely a possibility.
I think the Patriots have gone from a 6-win team to an 8-win team with Cam Newton. And I will tell you right now that I think Cam Newton wins the job, all right? They've been grooming Jarrett Stidham, but this was all a show. The Patriots wanted a quarterback in the draft. Bill Belichick told you that not drafting a quarterback wasn't by design. What does that mean? That means they failed. That means they had a guy they liked. They didn't get the guy they liked in the draft. You know, a few years ago, the Patriots had an eye on Lamar Jackson. And they ended up not drafting Lamar Jackson because they thought they would have to change their offense too much. You know, it would be too much of a shock to the system. Oops. They were looking at Lamar Jackson a few years ago. They had their eyes on him, man, and they passed him up. And Bill Belichick's looking at things, and he's saying to himself, I am way too competitive to just have a crap season here. I'm way too competitive to drop a 5-11 or a 6-10. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the Patriots were headed toward. 5-11, 6-10. They weren't going to be any better than that. Now, Cam Newton, I think they're competitive. But you don't know in any way, shape, or form what you're getting from Cam Newton. Since 2016, Cam Newton, one loss record, 23-23. Since 2016, Cam Newton, touchdown to interceptions, 65 touchdowns, 44 picks. Yeah. Passing yards a game since 2016, 229. Yeah. Completion percentage since 2016, 59.6. Yeah. Passer rating since 2016, 82.6. Yeah. And he's not really running anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Cam Newton, the name is flashy. Carmelo Anthony, the name is flashy. It's been flashy as their entire careers. But what are you getting right now? To what degree can Cam Newton rehabilitate himself, man? Does anybody have the answer to that question? Well, if anybody does, we're going to try to get that from Travis Hancock, one half of the Mac Attack on WFNZ in Charlotte. He joins us next. Cam Newton to the Patriots. Your thoughts on that? Do you consider New England a playoff contender right now in the AFC? 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Travis Hancock, sister station, WFNZ in Charlotte, joins us next right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides. Mark, Ryan, and Tim on a Monday. Fantastic to have you with us, folks. Hope you're doing very, very well. We shared with you the contest that we are starting. It'll be Wednesday at 4:40. Your impressions of me, okay? Your impressions of me. What's the best Mark Ryan impression you got? Is Burns my brownies in there? Am I getting all hot and bothered about something? Tim will be the judge. 4:40. Your calls. And at some point, for the winner, the person that has the best impression, we'll take you out to lunch at some point. All right? Maybe 2021, but we will take you out to lunch at some point if you have the very, very best impression of yours truly. Joining us right now is just really a fantastic human being. This guy, we've come to know him over the 16 months that we've been here. He is one half of the Mac Attack. He messages me every so often just to see how I'm doing. Their show is a real hoot. I had the privilege of being on their show a few weeks ago. Travis Hancock joins us right now. Travis, you and Mabel, how is everybody, man?
Mabel the dog, the senior rescue dog's right here. And when you don't bring her up, it really burns her brownies. So thank you for bringing up her name. Brownies? Like, how old are you, Mark? 84? Like, what's going on over there in the update?
It really curdles my cheese when you start making fun of my sayings like this, Travis, okay? So cut that out, all right?
I get called an old man, and these are sayings. I don't even know what's going on right now.
By the way, some people are old souls. I'm an octogenarian, Travis, so I am way up there. I am way up there. How's everything going, man? You doing all right?
Doing good, man. Just got off the air. I'm in a different time slot for 4 days. I'm actually hosting 10 to 2 on WFNZ this week. And what better day to host than the day when Cam finally finds a new home, right? So we had a wild show full of a lot of discussion on Cam and had a good time. But there's certainly a lot of layers to unearth, if you will, in this story.
There are so many different branches to this one. And the first jumping off point for me, Travis, is simply this. What player is New England getting? I mean, that seems to be the question that nobody has an answer to. I feel like, Travis, whereas you might not know definitively, you have a better gauge, and I think just about anyone else in the country does. I'm looking at the stats since 2016, 23-23 record, 65-44 touchdowns to interception ratio, 59.6% completions, 82 quarterback rating. And I'm wondering if this is a little bit of Carmelo Anthony syndrome. Like, people hear the name and they forget that the player isn't really what he used to be. What player is New England getting?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because a segment today that I did was, and I had this planned before the news broke yesterday about him signing, I was trying to figure out, you know, athletes' careers end in different ways, and the second phase of athletes' careers don't always go the way you think it's going to go. So I listed off today six or seven guys that had different paths in the second part of their career. A guy like Alex Smith, who was a number one overall pick, but then just became a pretty good quarterback that won a lot. Carmelo Anthony was on the list, a guy that never bought into what his skills were telling him that he was. Vince Carter's a guy who bought in and went 13 years past his last All-Star game. Allen Iverson, there's a guy who had a great 10 to 11 years, and his body basically said no more. There's a bunch of examples. Randall Cunningham's a guy who got beat up in Philadelphia, took a little time off, ended up in Minnesota, and he had that magical year with Randy Moss and Chris Carter. I think Cam's got at least one big-time year left. I don't think he's completely done, but I also don't think he's got a 5 or 6 year window here with that shoulder and that body. So if I had to say who is he could easily beat Carmelo, Mark, if he doesn't buy in. If he thinks he's the best quarterback on the team, no matter where he is, if he went to, you know, they talked about Seattle and backing up Russell Wilson. Does Cam still think he's better than Russell Wilson? Probably. But I think that Randall Cunningham might be a comparison just to the fact that I think he's got one big-time year left, and I think it can be with New England. I didn't think that at first, but I really think with him and Belichick both motivated in different ways, I really think Cam can have a big-time year.
What's the move? What was the feeling on your show today, Travis, about this entire thing? I mean, I'm sure people are buzzing. This was always the most logical fit for me. And people said the Panthers made him dangle in the wind. I really think the Patriots left him dangling in the wind as well. This was such low risk, high reward potential, and it just made the most sense to me from the get-go. I was convinced that New England was tanking, and that's why they weren't signing him, because that they wanted to lose this year. But, you know, I think Bill Belichick's competitive nature took over. He realizes this is kind of a show-me year for him, a show-me year for Tom Brady, a show-me year for Cam Newton, right? Everybody wants to settle the who was more responsible for the Patriots' success debate. But I just think this was a natural fit. I'm so fascinated with the response you got in Charlotte today about all this.
It feels like we said goodbye to Cam about 5 or 6 different times with tribute shows and, you know, and montages. And today we did some more. We played highlights, and he's now got a new home. So it really is a goodbye. In terms of fits, a logical fit would have been the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we know they're not trying to win, obviously. They're trying to set themselves up for Trevor Lawrence or Fields or whoever they can get. The most logical spot to me, based off of what they have, was the Bears. They got an immensely talented defense. They have all the pieces there. But they went and got Nick Foles so fast that they got taken out of play. Then we thought, well, a lot of people thought the Chargers are a spot. Cam in L.A., they got a new stadium. It fits. They like Tyrod Taylor. They go get Justin Herbert. That's out of the play. I actually thought when you ranked all these destinations, I thought New England might be the worst spot for Cam.
Wow. Really?
Not from a football point of view per se, because as Phil Simms told us today from CBS, Josh McDaniels makes a different offense every year. So he'll find a way to get the most out of Cam if he's healthy. If he's their guy, if he's healthy. I thought that's a tough spot for any quarterback, whether it's Cam, Jameis, Dalton, Foles, any of the guys that were sort of out there in the offseason, because you're replacing Tom Brady. And those fans there are rabid in Boston. We know how that media is. Those fans expect to win. As long as Belichick is there coaching, they're going to expect that 11 to 12 win range. They're spoiled. We know that. And hey, props to them. I'm a Jets fan. I don't even know what 12 wins looks like. But they're going to expect a lot. That's a high-pressure situation for a quarterback coming off something that Cam came off of, to go in there, replace Tom Brady with that media, with those fans. So I didn't rank New England high up there on the list of destinations. But the more I thought about it, the more I think about it, you have a motivated Cam on a one-year contract who won an MVP award, albeit 5 years ago. You've also got a motivated Bill Belichick right now. He's always motivated. But, man, we know he's a dog. He wants to prove in the worst way that he was the reason why New England had all the success. It wasn't just Tom Brady. So you've got a motivated Belichick. You got a motivated Cam, and they don't appear to have a lot in common, but sometimes those are the bonds that work in sports. The weird marriages sometimes work. Like, I think that Belichick and Cam will somehow form a bond. I don't know. I just get that sense. It doesn't seem like it on the surface, but I just wonder if they'll end up finding each other at the right time, like me and my daughter Mabel did here recently.
There you go. By the way, did we set the record for naps yesterday?
Mabel?
Yeah, Mabel. Did she break the all-time record for naps in a day?
No, she tied her record with 13 on Sunday. It was man, it was, to me, it was like watching McGuire and Sosa in 98, but it was more on the up and up than that. She's all clean. So it was historic to watch, man. I watched her, I mean, three different couches, two beds, kitchen floor. I mean, she put on a performance that was historic on Sunday. Now,
you know, I'll tell you, man, in the would you ever change places with a dog's life, I'm answering that in the affirmative sometimes. I think the simplicity of their lives is really, really, really nice and relaxing to think about sometimes, man. I don't know about you.
I mean, you never drive. You never have to feed yourself. You don't have to go to the bathroom yourself. Like, it's all set up for you. All you got to do is just sort of exist, right? Exist, be happy, be there. Like, it's sort of like, I'm kind of envious of, like, dogs' lives. I thought that it's going to be a chapter in my book that's coming out probably in the next 10 to 12 years. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Cam Newton in and this one-year deal, is that all this is? I mean, is this just a one-year trial and experiment and a chance for Cam Newton to get back on its feet? Is this just throwing a bone to Cam to see if there's anything left in the tank? Do you think there's any shot this could be a longer-term marriage?
Yeah, I do. And obviously it depends on a lot of factors. And one great unknown factor here that we simply don't know about, and it's sort of a twofold thing here. We don't know what Jarrett Stidham is, the second-year man of Auburn. We have no idea. He only threw four passes last year. We have no idea.
I knew what he was at Auburn. Not very good.
Yeah, but for the NFL, we don't know what he is. We don't know what they feel about Jarrett Stidham. We have no idea if they like him or not. And I'll say this. I'm always careful to doubt anything involving Belichick because we didn't know a lot about his quarterback in 2000, did we, when he didn't play in Tom Brady. So I'm not saying Jarrett Stidham could be Tom Brady, but I don't put anything past Bill Belichick. So I do. Either Cam could parlay this into something with the Patriots, or who knows, maybe another team comes calling and he gets that second big contract. So, yeah, I think this is I think it's there. I think if it works and, you know, they have success, I don't see why they wouldn't bring Cam back. There's not exactly a ton of guys on the roster other than Stidham that I just mentioned that you look at and say, oh, that's the future. They may feel Stidham's that way. They may want Cam in there just to push Stidham. Really have no idea. But I would think a healthy Cam should easily overtake Jarrett Stidham, I would guess.
I'm predicting the same thing, man. I think Cam wins that job relatively easily.
And one thing I like about Cam in that offense with the Patriots, you got to think about it. Now, I'm not saying Cam's going to be Tom Brady by any means because no one is, but think about how quickly Tom Brady could release the football the way it was designed, so fast. And right. A lot of that's on Brady, but one of the knocks on Cam is he holds the ball too long. Well, in this offense, he's sort of going to have to get the ball out quickly. So maybe that sort of helps Cam's short passing game and accuracy that he now is going to be forced to get the ball out really, really fast.
Yeah, and I think it's really an interesting dynamic. And then, you know, are we past the point of Cam running the football at this stage in his career? Is that part of the offense scrapped completely, or do we see more of the Jacoby Brissett-style Patriots offense that we saw when Tom missed games previously?
Yeah, that's an interesting point that they, you know, Bill Barnwell at ESPN.com's got a whole piece on the Patriots designing their offense differently this offseason through the offensive linemen and various things that they're doing to be a more run-based team. They're trying to be a running football team. The only question with that is Cam still a running quarterback? Like, that's all fine and dandy 5 years ago, and no doubt about it, he would fit right in, but and Cam can run it, but, man, you got to be really careful because that sure is – It's not for the long haul, I don't believe, from what I understand. So you Cam putting his head down and getting tough yards, that's fine and dandy on paper. But if you're designing an entire offense to run with Cam as one of the lead guys, I don't know if that's going to work or not. I just don't know.
Travis, I think Matt Rhule has, first of all, I love him, and secondly, I think he had no bone to pick with Cam Newton whatsoever. I just found, and I'm sure this got a ton of play on your station as well, a couple of weeks ago, the whole GOAT post on the Carolina Panthers Twitter page. I just found that so demeaning, disrespectful. I don't know who made that call or, you know, is that coming from the top with the owner? He wants to disassociate from Cam Newton, or someone in the media department just doesn't respect him at all. It just seems really petty for what was a great marriage for so many years to just continuously kind of tweak him in the way that the organization is tweaking him. Why do you think that's happening?
It clearly didn't end well behind the scenes with the gamesmanship that I think was being played, if you recall, at the Super Bowl on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Network, where Cam talked about how great things were and how they can't wait to work together. And then no one noticed, but 2 days later on a separate platform, Cam was talking differently about how things were. So that right then we realized, okay, so Cam went on a national show, discussed how great things were, and probably got told or said something. Someone said something to him about, hey, you know, you might want to be careful, because it seemed like there was a gamesmanship being played even in January, February, of who's going to end up looking like the bad guy. There's an exit coming. Who's going to be the bad guy? And as far as the GOAT thing goes, we had people tell us that it just simply was a case of they weren't including active players on the list. So they viewed Cam, obviously he was not on the team, but they viewed Cam as an active player. That's why they went the Luke Peppers Smitty route. And my thing about that was this: you didn't include him, but in my opinion, he is fourth. That Cam, Smitty, and Peppers rank higher than him on the hierarchy, and I think over time McCaffrey will pass Cam. That's not a knock on Cam. I just think that when you go through totality of careers, I think, and you know, not for one season like 2015, but I who do you take off, Smitty, Pep, or Luke? Some people may say Peppers because he kind of split the time in his career with Chicago and Green Bay and Carolina, but
Travis, won an MVP there. He took you to the Super Bowl. I honestly don't see how, you know, given the value of that position, and that he had the Panthers as competitive for how many consecutive years, I have a hard time not having him at one, honestly.
Yeah, here's the problem with that, though, is, like, Luke Kuechly's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? I mean, no doubt about it. Steve Smith, we'll see how the wide receiver thing plays out, but to me, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, that dude got the most. Steve Smith is a Hall of Famer. Peppers is a Hall of Famer. Is Cam a Hall of Famer? That's how I would look at that.
I got you. I think talking about impactful
to a franchise, like national attention and appeal and all the stuff that goes into what Cam brought the city. Well, obviously, he's probably done more than all those guys. But if we're talking about as a football player, if I can't say Cam is a Hall of Famer, and those three guys are, I guess Peppers would be the one that you might move out, but it's also hard to move him out for what he did for Carolina for all those years. So it's an interesting discussion. That should be your 4 o'clock topic right there. I think I just gave you a topic for 4 o'clock.
There you go, bud. Travis Hancock, co-host of the Mac Attack, WFNZ in Charlotte. Follow him on Twitter at TboneWFNZ. You and Mabel, stay safe, pal. Thanks so much.
All right, man. And get those brownies burning, right? Keep them burning.
Travis Hancock.
Keep that cheese curdling, all right? Whatever you say.
Hey, listen, stop condensing my soup. Get on up out of here, will you? All right, take care,
buddy.
I'm
going to get involved in this. When's the impression contest? Wednesday?
Wednesday at 4:40, man. I need you. I want you. All right. I want you on that wall, Travis. Wednesday at 4:40, we're taking them, okay?
All right. I'll be in.
Take care, buddy. Travis Hancock, T-Bone WFNC in Charlotte, co-host of the Mac Attack, joining us here on Offsides ESPN Upstate. Coming up next on the show, with everything going on surrounding the Clemson football program, exactly what is Dabo at fault for specifically? We'll tackle that when Offsides continues right after this. We are ESPN Upstate. All right, so Sports by Brooks has quite a following on social media. Media guy, Sports by Brooks, has a lot of big takes. I found him to be a really nice person generally over the years. He promotes a lot of my stuff. Nice guy, right? But he tweeted over the weekend the following. Tweeted yesterday afternoon. This is what he says. Dabo Swinney, who cites the Bible to justify America's most prominent vestige of slavery, and he's referring to college football there, just allowed 37 men on a team that's disproportionately black to be infected by a biblical plague that now places the lives of additional at-risk Americans in jeopardy. Sounds about right. Sports by Brooks, at Sports by Brooks on Twitter. He tweeted this over the weekend. What responsibility or what fault, in your opinion, falls at Dabo Swinney's feet regarding all of this stuff, regarding George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and Dabo Swinney's statement and the Football Matters T-shirt, and then the peaceful protest on the campus of Clemson University, and then 23 players testing positive at Clemson, and then 37 players testing positive at Clemson. What fault falls at the feet of Dabo Swinney in regards to all of this? I open it up to you guys at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. Lisa Justice texts into the show. She says, rock that sexy body. Keep it sporty and saucy. That's what we do. You can get to us on Twitter. Very simple Twitter policy. If you are following us, we'll get to your tweets live and on the air. At ESPN Upstate. At T Holcomb something or other, right?
Close. T Hulk 18.
T Hulk 18. Is that H-U-L-K?
Yes.
T-H-U-L-K 18. And you may email the show as well. Always get to your emails. Love your emails. Appreciate them. Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Tim, you can have first stab at this question. What fault does Dabo Swinney have in all of this? You read a tweet from Sports by Brooks and seemingly has quite a bit of fault for the current state of affairs.
Wait, so are you saying he's at fault for like the COVID cases going on now? I'm confused.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. He said Dabo Swinney, who cites the Bible to justify America's most prominent vestige of slavery, in his opinion, college football is America's most prominent vestige of slavery, just allowed 37 men on a team that's disproportionately black to be infected by a biblical plague that now places the lives of additional at-risk Americans in jeopardy. Sounds about right. That's what he said over the weekend. So my question to you is does any of this blame, does Dabo Swinney, is he at fault for all of these, any of these outcomes?
First of all, absolutely not. First of all, what is he supposed to do? Like, if he doesn't allow his players to go out and protest, which is what the players probably ended up contracting the COVID from, if he doesn't let him go out there and protest, he's the bad guy here. But if he doesn't and then they get sick, then he's also the bad guy. I mean, no matter what happened, he was going to be the villain here no matter what. He could have been on both sides. I just think that's an over-exaggeration.
All right, so Dabo Swinney's first statement on George Floyd missed the mark. It was all about, faith is a great thing. But faith absent action is incomplete. And his first statement on George Floyd was, you know, I trust God, I put my faith in God. And look, a lot of us do, okay? Anybody who fashions themselves God-fearing men and Christian men, they do. But what are the actions that you're going to take? Then I felt like for Dabo to be seen wearing a Football Matters shirt, which was a shirt that he has, a shirt that he likes, and I agree with him that football matters, but at that particular time, that's not the shirt that you pick out of the closet, right? So, and he addressed that, and I thought he had a good statement. He came out and he addressed different things and met with his team, and even his own players said, look, some of the things that Dabo said initially kind of missed the mark, but he's learning and he's open, and that's the most important thing, right? Some of the things I said about that kind of missed the mark. Dabo Swinney and Clemson University were in a true damned if you do and damned if you don't scenario regarding the peaceful protest when you consider that Clemson University, the name itself, Clemson, is of a slave, is highlighting a slave owner, right? John Calhoun, Tillman Hall, slave owners. Clemson is in a tough predicament there. The passion surrounding that and the call from DeAndre Hopkins to change the names of these buildings is why there was so much fervor around the passions at Clemson University. Clemson had to allow the peaceful protest. But what happens within 2 weeks of the peaceful protest? 37 players test positive. 37. That's why, folks, I wasn't getting anywhere near that protest. Because I was thinking to myself, good Lord, that is going to be a COVID factory out there. And now Clemson has more positive COVID cases than anyone in America. That isn't Dabo Swinney's fault, nor is Dabo Swinney in any way, shape, or form trying. I heard this hypothesized. This is the worst hypothesis of all time. I had a couple media colleagues text me over the weekend and wonder if Dabo was trying to get the whole team infected so that they would have antibodies by the time the football season rolled around. And I told everyone that texted me that, I said, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I couldn't believe when I heard it once. Then imagine how shocked I was to get more texts from media members, you know, tight-knit media circle, people I know throughout the country that are wondering the same thing. And I said to every single one of them, I said, look, man, I respect you. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Let's think about this rationally for a moment. Dabo Swinney wants his players to get something that could kill them? That could kill them. You might say, oh, Mark, 1% chance. It could kill them. If 120 players get sick, 120 players on the roster, one may die. You think Dabo Swinney wants that? There's no way he wants that, man. There's no way he wants that. So I ask you guys that question. Let's get the text line going today at 71307. You know, Sports by Brooks puts Dabo Swinney on blast. Is Dabo Swinney in any way, shape, or form responsible for the COVID tests, 37 positive tests at Clemson University? What is your take on that? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. You're listening to the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark, Ryan, and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides. Oh, listen, wait till you hear some of these texts coming in here, Tim. So somehow Brooke on Sports, Sports by Brooks, or whatever it's called, is somehow twisting this into it's Dabo's fault for players of color getting COVID-19. Wow. Seems Brooks has other issues. That text comes in from Eugene. I don't blame Dabo Swinney for that. I think Clemson had to have the peaceful protest, and I think they knew that that was going to be a COVID factory given where the virus was in our area right now, and it was something they had to go through anyway. There are stories, and folks, you guys know me, right? I'm in the middle on a lot of things. I don't straddle the fence. You know I always have opinions, but I'm in the middle on a lot of things. The very liberal media is coming out with articles right now saying that cases are not up because of the protests, which is total bunk. They're absolutely up. The protests are definitively a factor in the cases being up, as is this pride parade that they had in Chicago yesterday with what looked like 200,000 people out there. I mean, like, this is not the time for those kinds of parades at all. Another texter says, Mark Ryan, I am sick of your opinion, always talking about what's wrong at Clemson, always judging Dabo Swinney and everyone else. Sick of your show. Well, I think I made a friend. Texter, I am merely the messenger here, and you are shooting the messenger. I shared with you a tweet, and I asked, is Dabo at all responsible, as Sports by Brooks says, yes or no? I think Dabo's a wonderful man. I think he's an incredible human being. I think we all take missteps. We're all created imperfect. There has only been one perfect human being in the entire existence of mankind, and his name was Jesus Christ. Okay? Nobody else, everybody else has been fallible. And so, look, we're all open to criticism. You can criticize me, and you may be right, and I accept that, and that's okay. It's a completely okay thing. I'm totally down with it. I totally accept it. And all of that, all of the above is fair. All right? All right. We are rocking and rolling now, man. Really, really rocking and rolling here on the show. Coming up next, our SEC and ACC team preview series continues. We go down to College Station, home of the 12th man, to get the preview 2020 Kellen Mond and company, the Jimbo Fisher, third season at Texas A&M, the preview of the Aggies coming your way next here on Offside.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.